not necessarily amongst your staff, but in the Vatican, were there those who resented you as an ambassador of the United States because you were from the United States? Did you get any of that?
Oh, occasionally. In fact, there's a deal in almost every mission where the longest tenured ambassador is called the dean of the diplomatic corps for that country. So our dean of the diplomatic corps was a old half-communist socialist from San Marino. Every year, in the first week of January, when we have our annual ambassador's diplomatic corps meeting with the Pope and his blessing and all that, the dean of the diplomatic corps gets up and makes statements that are supposed to reflect what the diplomatic corps feels and thinks. So I went over to see this guy the first week I was there. I said, look, you're not going to mention Iraq, and you're not going to mention global warming. He said, well, yeah, I think I need to mention this. I said, if you do, right there in St. Peter's, I'm going to call a press conference, and I'm going to attack you with everything I've got. You're not going to mention global warming, and you're not going to mention Iraq. I said, I come from a business, okay? This isn't this pussyfooting around stuff here. I'm going to represent President George W. Bush. He did not like me at all, but he didn't mention Iraq, nor did he mention global warming that time.
Was that probably the only time you had to be so direct and stand up?
You know, there were a few other things, but that was one that I thought was important to get off on the right foot. I didn't think it up, because last time the guy had mentioned a bunch of anti-U.S. stuff. So the State Department said, could you please do what you can to try to muffle him? So I did what I could to muffle him.
Most mornings, then, you went to the Vatican?
Yeah, the diplomatic work is conducted with the Secretariat of State of the Holy See, which is organized much like ours. Different monsignors have responsibilities for different country issues. They have a Secretary of State. He has people under him. And so most of those meetings would be either with the Secretary of State or his top people under him. And usually they bring in some of the various monsignors who have specific country knowledge, just like if you go to the State Department and you meet with Secretary Rice, you meet with Nick Burns, they might call in the people from the EUR Bureau because they're the ones that really are digging deep into what's going on in those countries. That work takes place in the mornings over there. So I'd say three or four times a week I'd have a meeting over there.
A little bit about the power of the Pope. Every chain of command leads to him?
Yes. In fact, that's part of the problem, and that's what Pope Francis is trying to address. They still have a vestige of monarchism, if you will, where each dicastery and pontifical council reports directly up to the Pope. You've seen Cardinal Worrell and Cardinal Dolan make comments about this, that we need more of an executive management, modern management structure where there's teamwork and cross-pollinization of ideas and things like that, instead of these silos. The silos are good for like intelligence because you don't want anybody else to know what you're doing, and they don't want you to know what they're doing in case somebody goes bad or something. Contain the damage. But in business or in an organization like this, you need to have differences of opinions, team building, and different skills brought to bear to make the best decisions in a very complex world. And that's what Pope Francis is trying to accomplish now. But when I was over there, there were people that there's one person they reported to, and that's the only person they were going to report to.
What position is the highest ranking next to the Pope?
The Secretary of State. The Secretary of State there is kind of like a combination Prime Minister and American Secretary of State. He really has that wide a span of authority. Under him, you have the Prime Minister side organization, which they call the First Section, which deals with things coming from the Holy See to the world. And then you have what they call the Second Section, which is the State Department side, if you will, which deals with interrelations with the ambassadors and heads of state and all that.
The difference in a Pope's personality can affect the position. Pope John was so outgoing, was such an extrovert. Pope Benedict, he was an academic. I guess they both were, but he was intensely intellectual.
Philosopher.
And so his demeanor was a little withdrawn, I suppose. These differences can affect the office he holds?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In fact, that's a really good question. One thing that happened a bunch of times to me was I get a call from some big Catholic in the United States, and he'd say, I want to go have Mass with the Pope. I said, well, the Pope doesn't do Mass with people. He said, well, Pope John Paul used to. I used to come over there and watch him put on his vestments, and he'd have about 10 or 15 businessmen. We'd have Mass with the Pope. I said, well, this Pope doesn't do that. This is a new Pope. In fact, when the Pope went to see the President in April of 2008, the White House said, okay, we want to have a state dinner for the Pope. And I said, he ain't going to come. I guarantee you, he's not going to come. He will meet with the President, and he will do the other things that day, and he will go to the nunciature and have a beer and play the piano and have dinner and go to bed. That's what he will do. They said, well, we want you to get him there. I can't get him there. You guys pay me to know what the Pope's going to do. I'm telling you exactly what the Pope's going to do. And that's exactly what he did. So at the state dinner, President, right over here, he stands up and says, okay, welcome to the state dinner for the Pope without the Pope. And they even had German food.
You said play the piano. Did the Pope play the piano?
Pope Benedict plays piano.
What kind of music? What did he play?
Well, that I don't know.
You never heard him play?
No, but he's known for doing that.
Benedict, we're talking about. John Paul had deep respect for President Reagan, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the stories are a legend about the parallel but naturally aligned efforts that Reagan, Thatcher, and Pope John Paul had to help bring down communism, each doing their own thing.
I believe George H.W. Bush was not as engaged with the Vatican.
Well, he was, but I wouldn't say he was maybe as public as obviously the Pope John Paul II Ray, a communism business was. But there were a lot of things they worked on together. Ambassador Tomalotti, who was his ambassador to the Holy See, died just last year. And I put some things in the book about some of the things he did, like when we invaded Panama, took Noriega down, and he went to the nuncio tour and things like that.
Bill Clinton had some disagreements?
Bill Clinton had some serious disagreements in a limited circumscribed relationship, particularly because of the Cairo Population Conference in 94, where Hillary Clinton led the day to try to get euthanasia and abortion in a plank or platform. The Holy See made that a real priority, if you will, to stop it. And they worked very hard to bring forces to bear against the Clintons, and they succeeded, including getting a bunch of Muslim women led by Benazir Bhutto to stand up and oppose the National African League, or whatever they call it, effort to do that.
Then George W. Bush, I believe he set a record for U.S. presidents in visiting the Pope.
He had 6 visits, I think it was. I don't think any other Pope's ever had more than 1 or 2. He was very interested in what the Holy See had to say about different things, particularly about Iran, particularly about the global war on terror, the stem cell things I mentioned, and PEPFAR and whatnot, but very, very engaged.
He talked about his own faith, a spiritual connection that he has, although he's not a Catholic.
No, he's Episcopalian.
Still, he is very taken with the Pope from a spiritual standpoint, but then he also realizes in the world the position the Pope can play.
That's exactly right. He's a very religious person, so he values the role of religion in society and in people's lives. That's one thing. The other thing, as such, then, it's natural that he can see that the Pope can be a leading instrument for good for a value-based government, a value-based diplomacy.